Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen, a weekly program for teens, families, and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and analyze and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. So tap into the pulse of today's young folks with the Politics Rap panelists, IB students from James S. Rickards High School. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and joining me via the Zoom platform, I welcome. Would you introduce yourselves? We'll start with you, Nishi.
Hi, I'm Nishi, a rising sophomore at James S. Rickards High School, and I'm student producer for 411 Teen.
Okay. Soraya?
Hi, my name is Sarah Yovanga, and I'm a rising junior at James S. Rickards High School.
Okay. Whoever wants to go next? Suhas?
Hi, I'm Suhas, and I'm a rising 10th grader at James S. Rickards High School.
Okay, who hasn't gone? Hassani?
Hi, I'm Hassani Yelgoti, and I'm a rising sophomore at Rickards High School.
And who do we have left?
I'm Asmitha, a rising 10th grader at Rickards High School.
Okay, anyone else?
Hi, I'm Vahani, and I'm a rising freshman at Rickards High School.
Well, I would like to say welcome to all of you. I really appreciate you coming in to share your opinions. There's been so much going on, and I know you're on break, but thank you. All right, let's get started. We'll start locally. DeSantis touts his civics program as the real history, with students learning the real facts. Last week, teachers initiated a training program developed by Hillsdale College, a private Christian college. Teachers who went through the training described it as being very skewed and propagandized particular points of view. For example, slavery is depicted as involuntary relocation. Teachers took issue with this. Trainers also used slides that stated it was a misconception that the founders desired a strict separation of church and state. So let's look at this. What do you think about this new civics program and the real history? Does it sound real? And Nishi, I'll start with you because I know you're very familiar with the whole program.
Well, just based on what you said, because I haven't heard of this yet, it's kind of like shocking to see that like trainers for teachers that are going to be teaching our like students, future students, are being taught things in such a conservative way, it's not even accurate, right? So right. What are we supposed to expect our students to learn if the teachers aren't learning it right?
You're right. Yeah. They're going through the training for it now. Okay. And oh, by the way, let me just add, the governor's office is promising teachers a $3,000 bonus for those who complete the civics training. And it's estimated, I think, about 2,500 teachers are to complete. But there are a couple of things that I want you to be aware of is how we are rewriting history. I mean, slavery, involuntary relocation. Is that what you would call slavery, involuntary relocation? And the training was written by Hillsdale College, and that's a private Christian school. All right, I want to hear from the rest of you. What do you think about this real history? Sounds like real history is being distorted.
I feel like when it comes to these things, we really need to stick to the facts. Like with topics like this, it's so heartbreaking that we are, or like the people who are being, the teachers who are being trained, they now are teaching young children, they will be teaching young children like unreal things. And teachers who teach younger children, they have so much power because they have so much influence over young kids' minds and young kids' beliefs, and they will grow up thinking those things and believing those things. And that can really change somebody's mindset if you were taught those, if you were taught certain things in school. And I'm not saying that these topics shouldn't be talked about in school. I just think that when, like, obviously with slavery and stuff, it needs to be like accurate. It can't be, you can't twist it, you can't change it, because that, I don't know, that can, that's just, you can't change history, you know?
Can't sugarcoat it.
Exactly. And it's just really wrong. And I don't know. I don't know how this is like, I don't know why this is like currently happening.
I can feel
I
the
want to talk,
frustration
oh,
in your
sorry.
voice. No, go right ahead. I was just going to say, I can feel the frustration in her voice. Go ahead.
I wanted to say that we can kind of connect this back to like the Don't Say Woke bill, where like they were trying to make the students like not feel guilty by hearing about all of these topics in terms of racism and other like sensitive topics. But that's just like hiding the truth. Like, again, I think I said this in like the last episode. We can't hide what happened from our students, because otherwise they're not going to know like how we developed as a country, and they're not going to know how we need to continue to change. We're not going to know like how bad things were before in order to improve from there. It's just not going to work.
Yeah, and on top of that, we'll make the same mistakes if we don't know where we've been, if we don't know what we have done in the past. Who knows, we might make the same mistake over again. Let me hear from some of the rest of you. What do you think? Suhas.
I think it's like it's not right, I guess. There's like many other things you could do to change the perspective of what actually happened, but distorting what actually happened and like changing other people's perspective that's not educated on it and like trying to like manipulate is like it's not right, I guess.
I had a question.
Sure.
Why exactly was the civics program started again?
DeSantis felt that it was necessary. I mean,
He
this
seems
is
to be thinking a lot of things are necessary lately.
yeah, this was DeSantis. It's his civics program. And he felt like we need to make sure that the real history is out there and that students are learning the real facts. But in learning what he calls the real facts, it seems like history is being the actual history that occurred is being distorted. Okay? And it has that, I think someone mentioned, it has a real extreme right-wing twist to it. Teachers themselves are saying that it was very skewed. It was not even, it was leaning to being propaganda. Okay? I mean, it sounds like, and I want to hear from all of you, it sounds like it's purposeful miseducation. Comments?
I think with them miseducating the young folk of our country, it's honestly giving like DeSantis and the people who are like initiating this more power, if that makes any sense. So I don't think that's right, because honestly, at this point, it's almost like they're trying to manipulate everyone
Right.
into doing and fitting
Exactly.
whatever standards they have. So.
Well, you anticipated a question I was going to ask. What are they trying to accomplish by distorting the real?
No, exactly. They're not accomplishing anything at all except for like worsening our education system. Like, it doesn't make sense to hide the facts from the kids, because how else are they going to really know like what happened, and how else are they going to find themselves to be able to respect and honor those who suffered in the past?
Exactly. I mean, you raised some good issues. And that's why we needed to look. I mean, this is something that's happening. You all are students in public school. Now, granted, you're in high school, so maybe you will not be exposed to this civics program, because you've had an opportunity to be educated in more realistic setting and terms, but this is what is happening now. So what message does it send? What are we telling young folks these days?
I feel like, to be honest, like distorting what is taught at school, just especially in history classes, kind of just hides the truth from the future generations, and mm-hmm. it leads them to believe something that is not entirely true, because it's really important to understand our past and significant events that have occurred and made our country the way it is today. And distorting the truth would just kind of lead us to a worse position in many aspects for our country. Okay. In all honesty.
All right. Other comments?
I agree. It's kind of twisting the facts, and it's like making like the kids believe that like a different like sort of mindset, and it'll definitely affect them in the future and how they think.
Okay. So do you think it will have a positive or a negative impact?
Negative.
Okay. Other comments?
Anything? I kind of wanted to just say that mm-hmm. like a lot of things that people pride on in like Generation Z and everything is that like we're so like open and, you know, progressive and stuff like that, right? But then right. see the future generation that's going to be learning all of this manipulated facts taught by a super Christian school to teachers, exactly. they're not going to be that way. And it'll just be like a temporary thing. And that's kind of what I'm afraid of, that like our future, like the future students of our country are going to be learning distorted facts and won't have like the real knowledge in them, like to be able to actually, like I said earlier, respect those who have suffered.
Exactly. Well, you all hold your thoughts. You're tuned in to 411 Teen, a conversational forum for teens and families and other interested folks. This hour, I'm talking with the Politics Rep team, and we're examining local, state, and national politics. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll return momentarily. What's the 411? This is 411 Teen. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield. If you're just tuning in, this is the Politics Wrap edition, and we are looking at local, state, and national politics. Florida is the only state in the nation that did not pre-order vaccines for children younger than 5. Governor Ron DeSantis and Surgeon General Joseph Latipo recently announced that the state would not make COVID vaccines for kids younger than 5 available at county health departments. This could affect approximately 33,000 children. So what's happening now, everyone is looking for a place to immunize their infants and toddlers. Pediatricians are looking for vaccines because many pediatricians get their vaccines from the health department. And they get them from the health department because they do not maybe meet the minimum dose ordering requirements. They might need only 2 or 3 vials. And you know, they can't order 2 or 3 vials, so they just get what they need from the health department. You can't order that small quantity through the state immunization portal. Given that this is what's happening, young kids can't get the vaccine. What are your thoughts? What do you think?
I, for one thing, this is really wrong because it's just another vaccine. Kids of all ages are required to take certain vaccines like smallpox or like polio vaccines, things like that. Mm-hmm. So I don't understand why it's not, why DeSantis and the Florida government isn't able to mandate children, regardless of whether they're children under 5
well,
or above.
Just, I didn't add this, but Latipo said that, you know, children under 5 didn't need them. They didn't need, even though this is in direct opposition to CDC, he says, they don't need to be vaccinated. So that's what's going on.
But even though they don't need to be vaccinated, it won't hurt to have them available. I still, like Asmita said, it doesn't, like, it's just like another vaccine. We all get vaccinated when we're babies, and then again when we're, like, 11, and then again when we're 16. It's just, like, the same thing. I don't understand why COVID vaccines suddenly became so political. It doesn't make any sense. It's like they're fighting over, like, nothing while lives are at stake.
Exactly. You're right. But that's what's happening. What are some of the rest of you think? Go right ahead. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I believe his decision was, like, ignorant. Like, it's a normalized thing. It should be normal. Like what Nishi said, it's just COVID, right? And it's a serious topic, but which is why we need to, like kids need to get vaccinated early on.
Okay.
And also, I think you can't argue with science. Like, you said it was in direct opposition to the CDC
yes.
rule. So I don't understand why people are, like, you know, opposing science now. Like, I don't know what drives them to do that when literally the facts are there and people just choose to ignore that. And it's really sad. Like, you know, it should be at least available. If parents don't want to take their children that are under 5 to go get it, then that's,
their
I guess,
choice.
Their parents' choice. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for the people that do want it, who do want to follow the rules of the CDC, like the recommendations by the CDC, then they should be able to. And I don't know why they're not available, you know?
No, exactly. Like, this is something that all of our leaders should be working together on. Instead, they're, like, fighting over it and making opinions on scientific, like, conclusions when they're not scientists themselves or doctors themselves. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, you know, if you think about it, that's been the trend. That's been the way we have been going for several years now. It is a political issue. It has turned to a political issue. You're going to see people on the right and the far right who, you know, don't agree with climate change, say it's a hoax, it's not really happening. You know, for a long time, Trump said COVID didn't exist. It was just the flu, you know? And didn't he say you could shoot some Clorox or something in your veins and that ought to take care of it?
Just,
I mean, he wasn't kidding. He meant that, okay? So, I mean, it just seems like all of this, if it's science, if it's climate, is becoming very political. And now the politicians, not only are they're not just politicians, they're medical doctors, they're scientists, they're climatologists, you name it, and they have all the information. And what they do, and then I want you all to respond to this, because this is the way it seems to fall out. What they do is they will find professionals who will support and go along with what they are saying. Comment.
Go on. Well, what I was going to say is I think this just adds on to the government today just trying so hard to maintain power and then, you know, hiring people like experts who have similar political views is just another way for them to maintain power, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No, see, the thing is, they can easily maintain power if they were just reasonable. And they are, they have power. They're just not using it the right way. And it's just, like, baffling.
And honestly, I find it so fascinating how our leaders take so much pride in their decisions. And what's sad is that a large portion of our population believes what they say because, I mean, it sounds reasonable if, like, someone in that much power is saying, like, many things so confidently, like, it's, like, anyone would believe it. But I feel like it's also important for, like, the public and people in general to understand our faults before we can look into what needs to be changed or improved about our society.
But their position is we have no faults. We have done everything right. I may sound sarcastic, but it's also real. That's what their position is.
Yeah, I don't know. What Sarah, you said about people believing the government because they sound like reasonable and they have it's obviously people are going to believe what they say because they are like authority figures and they have the power to literally mm-hmm. change our lives. So it's also like, I feel like people want to be right so bad. They want to prove that they're right mm-hmm. so bad that they will ignore mm-hmm. like the facts. They'll ignore statistics. They'll ignore science. And as you said about people finding professionals that will agree with them and take their side when they're clearly not right, is like, that's just, it goes again to show how much people want to prove that they're right. And they really want people to believe them. They want to have that influence over people and they want people to just go along with what they say and, you know, they want to have the power over them and influence them. So that's, yeah.
Okay.
That's so immature. I'm just realizing how immature our current leaders are. They just want to prove that they're right, even at the stake of other people's lives. And it's just disappointing.
But I think you all have hit it on the head because it is about power and control. Okay. And if they take this road and it leads them to what they want, then they're not concerned about the means. They're concerned about the end. And the end is the power and control. I mean, I'm digressing, and I know we've talked about this a lot, but look at what is happening with guns and these mass murders. And I know we're always talking about that. Look at this. We are overwhelmed with mass murders. From Sandy Hook to Uvalde, I mean, look at all that is happening. How can we not have laws that at least address these assault weapons? People who have guns say, we don't need assault. I don't need an assault weapon. You don't use it to go hunting, do you? I mean, they're so powerful, it seems like they would tear up the game. So what is the purpose? How can you have young babies killed? 4 or 5-year-old killed. Look at what just happened. It's all over, okay? And basically, it's not just in the hood, because the people that get killed in the hood, there's a murder here and a murder there. These mass murders, you got to have 4. So we're talking about folks who are getting their guns legally. How can politicians not address that? And you don't even have to answer, because I know we're always talking about mass murders, because it seems like every time we meet, there's been a new one. And we're supposed to be talking about local happening. But I just use that as an example when we talk about our politicians. I mean, when these people are being murdered, they aren't Republican or Democrats that are being murdered. They're our people. It doesn't matter what color they are or where they live or what their zip code is. I mean, do you all feel where I'm coming from?
No, yeah, for sure. I'm also when you say assault weapons, you're talking about guns too, right? So I'm just kind of realizing, I'm not realizing, I saw this the other day, this article about the recent gun legislation, mm-hmm. major gun legislation Congress passed. And they were saying how it's the first time in after decades of not doing anything about it. It took almost over 200 mass shootings this year for Congress to finally do something about it, which is just,
and it wasn't much.
Frustrating. It wasn't even that much. Exactly.
No, it wasn't that much. Okay. And I know that we are always talking about this, but I use that to parallel when we're talking about, you know, looking at what's happening as far as the vaccines are concerned. Now, just to get back to the vaccines, because I know you all, we don't need to talk about mass murders again, unless you just want to. But I wanted to add this. Dr. Lisa Gwynn, she's the head of Florida's American Academy of Pediatrics. She was removed from the Florida Healthy Kids Board based on a political statement she made about the state's coronavirus response that the chief financial officer here in Florida, Jimmy Patronis, disagreed with. He disagreed with Dr. Lisa Wynn's comment and had her removed. The Florida Healthy Kids Board oversees a program that, what do they do? They provide subsidized health insurance to children who use state and federal funding. Now, she just made a comment, and their way was, okay, we'll fix you. You know, we're going to take you off the board. That's the way they work. I mean, when we're looking at all this, what about the, and we only got a few more minutes, and then we're going to come back and talk about abortion. But what happens to those kids who are uninsured, who rely on the local health departments to get their vaccines? What happens? What do they do? So they don't deserve to have the vaccine? Is that what we're saying?
I feel like it's honestly so interesting about how our leaders are taking, honestly, I have to say, like, silly issues so far, and they're not even paying much attention, like not even nearly as much attention that they are giving to these silly issues, to that, and then they're not like giving that, they're not giving much attention to like issues that actually need attention and that need something to be done about them. But like, it's honestly so fascinating to me, but it's also so frustrating at the same time, because I don't understand what they're trying to accomplish out of this. Like, okay, you're in power. Okay, you will maintain power, maybe not. But what are you trying to achieve out of this? What role are you trying to fulfill? Like, what are you trying to express, you know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. They take such simple issues so far when there's, like, literally such an obvious solution in front of you. I mean, okay, I don't know about obvious. I guess it could get complicated, but it's evident what they need to be working on, but they choose not to work on it for some reason. And it's ridiculous.
No, like, seriously, there was a recent, I don't know if this law was like passed, but I know there was like one written about like prohibiting loud cars playing loud music.
Yeah,
that's like audible within 25 feet. And I can see why that may be a problem, but it's really such a small issue. And mm-hmm. compared to these big topics like gun violence, abortions, and it's yeah. just so frustrating that people are they're clearly focusing on the right issues here. Like, you can tell, and it's just really annoying that they can't do something about these bigger problems, but they seem to find an issue in everything else. And basically trying to solve issues that don't even really exist. So,
or create issues.
Honestly, that too.
Adding on to what Hosni said, I feel like government officials just make decisions, major decisions on topics that they don't really know anything about. And they tackle much more issues or topics that don't need as much recognition as major topics mm-hmm. like gun violence and abortion and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Other comments? I see someone. What are you thinking? Where are you? Okay, Any other comments concerning, you know, this really we were talking about the vaccine and the lack of vaccine availability for children under five? That's basically what we were talking about. And we will get to, I think next we're going to take a break shortly, but we'll get to, next we'll talk about abortion rights. So did anybody have any other comments they wanted to share about the vaccine or the lack of it? Do any of you have any younger brothers or sisters that would be eligible for it? Doesn't it impact you? Okay.
I don't have any younger brothers or sisters, mm-hmm. but I do think it's not fair. Like we already mentioned this already, mm-hmm. but I wanted to just say that like before it was a matter of like there's anti-vaxxers and then people who like wanted to get a vaccine and there were vaccines to get, but then now it's like we have no choice. Everyone right. just can't get a vaccine, and it's just.
That's a good point, yeah. Nishi. Let me just share with the listening audience, for those who are concerned about the vaccine and trying to get it, there is a hotline. I'm going to give you the number. It's 1-800-232-0233. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll return to our discussion on abortion.
Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
You're tuned in to 411 Teen. I'm Dr. Liz Hollifield, returning with the Politics Rap Team from Rickards High School IB program. The Politics Rap Team discusses local, state, and national political issues and events that interface our daily lives. The Supreme Court revoked the federal constitutional right to an abortion. This paves the way for more state restrictions. Florida is the largest Republican state where abortion is still available for the mass majority of folks seeking it. In Florida's state constitution, however, is a specific right to privacy. Abortion supporters point to that specific right to privacy in the Florida Constitution as a protection for abortion. But the Florida Supreme Court can rule, and do you think they'll follow with the Supreme Court? What do you think? What do you think about abortion? All of this has happened since we have had our regular meeting sessions. So what are your thoughts about abortion and where Florida sits and where we go? Because what they've said is, you know, women, girls, have no control over their body. We have white men, and I guess one black man also telling us what to do.
No, because I have so much to say on this topic, and I know everyone else here does too.
Okay, let's go.
It doesn't make any sense. Everyone in this country who has the ability to get pregnant, this is literally telling them that they're no longer a full citizen because they mm-hmm. no longer have the right to make the decisions about their own body. And I just want to say I think it was Oklahoma.
Okay.
They passed like one of the strictest abortion laws, I think. And it was that another citizen can sue a citizen who mm-hmm. wants to get an abortion for getting an abortion up to $10,000 for like emotional distress. $10,000 because they wanted to not give birth to a child.
Right. You got it.
It doesn't make any sense. And then Ohio, the 10-year-old rape victim, they won't let her get an abortion and told her to use it as an opportunity.
Isn't that ridiculous?
It's terrible.
I wonder how they would feel if their 10-year-old child had been raped and as a consequence, became pregnant.
Exactly.
I mean, first of all, her body is not mature. But go on. I know we'll run out of time. What do you all think? Where do you think? Let's go.
Exactly. Literally ridiculous. It's like outrageous because a literal 10-year-old is getting told that she has to be pregnant for 9 months and she could die.
Mm-hmm.
Like her body isn't mature yet. Like it's mind-boggling how stupid it is.
Yeah, pregnancy has such high risks. Abortion isn't even as close to it, like a pregnancy and like the amount of health risks that come with abortion. I mean, with pregnancy,
mm-hmm.
It's literally insane how they expect a 10-year-old girl to go through that. And there's so many older women that have like postnatal depression after they give birth, and like so many things go wrong with their health even after that. So just imagine this 10-year-old girl that has so much life ahead of her. Is expected to give birth at that age when she should be in school learning.
You've got it. Other comments? Let's hear from the rest of you.
Also, that one, I think the law in Ohio is that you can't get an abortion even after like finding out that your like the child within you is dead. And that is the craziest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. I think it's pretty obvious why that is so messed up and weird, because what is the point of not getting an abortion when the child is literally dead, that your like child that you're carrying is literally dead already? That, first of all, carrying that child could cause issues and harm, physical harm to the person who's carrying the child. And second of all, how is that like pro-life? Or because the child is already dead, so what difference does it make if you get an abortion then? That I think that law itself shows how much this issue is about controlling women's bodies and not about saving the children. Mm-hmm. Because that law itself, it's just telling a woman that she literally can't make a decision for her own body. And the decision wouldn't even be to save her child. She can't do that either way because the child is already dead.
Dead, right.
But she still can't get an abortion. And it just does not make sense at all.
No, what's even more like crazier to me is the fact that this is all for like fetuses, right? They're like giving more rights to this fetus than a full-grown person, a full-grown citizen of this country. They're giving more rights to this fetus that isn't even born, isn't even a full citizen, and neglecting their actual citizens of this country.
And let me add, you know, they are saying, oh no, you have to carry the baby to term and whatever, but what happens after the baby is here? They aren't offering support for these children. And the majority of people who get abortions already have children, okay? They may not be able financially to maintain and feed another mouth, yet you are telling them they have to have this. And, you know, some are saying, hey, they didn't even care whether the child had any type of disabilities, any type of health problems, you know, that may not render them able to live a full life. That doesn't matter. Child still needs to come.
To add on to that, it's honestly so weird that, it's important to consider the amount of families like people in general who aren't financially available, like financially stable to support another person,
mm-hmm.
and when mm-hmm. they can barely survive themselves. And if you are being forced to deliver just child, even if the child is like out, what is the guarantee that the child won't be abandoned? So what then? Like, we don't have good services to take care of the child. Like, what is the future of the child, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's really important to acknowledge, but I guess it's not, so.
Well, yep.
I wanted to mention that, like, I think this goes to show how important it is that we have leaders, like, more leaders, more, like, political leaders, more people of power that have the ability to get pregnant, women, those others who can get pregnant. It just goes to show how much more diversity we need in our leadership in order to have actual weightage in these decisions. Because the people that are making these decisions are men that can't get pregnant. And the ones that have power over this are people who won't ever be able to experience what they're expecting everyone else to go through. And it makes no sense at all that we're expected to listen to that decision.
Right. And let's just add there that the majority of American people favor abortion. At least that's what the reports are saying, that they favor abortion.
Exactly. That's it. Like, I know most of the people I talk to, honestly, mm-hmm. all of the people, like all of my friends, because I wouldn't be friends with somebody who's like, you know, anyways, but most of like the people I talk to, they mm-hmm. do support abortions and they feel the same way as all of us. And I just think there's so many things that these people can do because this is so important and we can't ignore the topic. Like sometimes in the media, we see that something bad happens and then it just kind of passes away and we don't do anything about it. But mm-hmm. that needs to stop. Like we need to all collectively start doing things about this issue. And obviously every issue that's like, or that are all the issues that are arising nowadays, but there are so many ways we can, you know, kind of not exactly stop this, but kind of progress in the right direction. You can, you know, sign petitions. And honestly, one of the most important things is for people to get more educated on the topic and do more research on the topic, because knowledge is like literally everything in these situations.
Exactly.
So yeah, just research. And there are so many resources online. There are so many websites that can tell you what to do, how to help. And I just think that everybody should be doing these things. Everybody that believes in women's rights to have uh-huh. to control their bodies should be doing something to help. Uh-huh. So, yeah.
I just like want to finish this off kind of with saying that like it's just kind of like when I go back and think about it, it's still shocking to me how people even consider this like a question, like, oh, do you support a woman's right to abortion? Like, why is that a question? Because it's a decision that a person who's giving birth gets to make about their body. It's their life that's going to be changed once they give birth. It just doesn't make sense why the government thinks they have any power in that decision.
Yeah, exactly. And I'd also like to add on, the main argument that, like, you know, pro-lifers have is that what if that baby has, like, fetus has potential? Like, what about all the children in foster care that have potential? Like,
yeah,
you're not doing anything to help those kids, but you're going to, like, do everything in your power to, like, help a fetus that hasn't even like become a citizen yet. It's crazy. And
exactly, focus on the kids we have. Why do we need more?
Exactly. And like abortion isn't just it's also a right to, you know, privacy. Like it's a woman's right and she should have that right. I just don't know why it's even being taken away.
Yeah, exactly. Roe v. Wade was so much more than just abortion. It was mm-hmm. like about freedom, equality, privacy. And it protected so much, and they just overturned it. They took all of that away, and it's...
And, you know, yeah. The other side, and I know we can move on to a couple other issues, but the other side is there's some places that are trying to charge or fine or women who go across the state to get an abortion. Now, can't you do what you want to? I mean, now you can't even go across state if your state does not offer abortion options, okay? You might want to go to a neighboring state. I've heard that some are entertaining Mel, maybe we need to charge them if they go to a neighboring state and have an abortion.
No, because how do they know that this person is pregnant?
Well,
they're not supposed to know. That's a right to private, like that's their private information, is it not?
Right. Right. You're right. But that's not what's happening.
Anymore.
Yeah.
No, because I hear people telling us to not use period tracking apps and all of that stuff anymore because they would have the information that a woman or a person who can get pregnant is pregnant. So now they're going to hack into apps that record all of this data and help us in order to find these people.
It's crazy. Mm-hmm.
How far are they going to go?
I think as far as they can. And they, you know, the white ring, Republicans, are in control. So what do you say? What can you do? And I think you all identified some things. But we need to look at who, of course, we need to look at who we put in these offices. But if they lie to get in the office, I mean, it's almost like Kavanaugh said, you know, he was not opposed to abortion. He was not going to vote. And what happened? And what's the other one? Amy Coney. Yeah, the other justice that just came aboard also said that. Yeah. And she, so we can't even trust the people that we put in office to do what they say they're going to do.
Yeah, I think
the more are we supposed to trust? That's the question.
That's the question. Which leads to my question to you all. Why do you think people are so apathetic? I mean, it seems like, you know, folks have strong feelings about various issues, but they are rather apathetic. Now, I know that folks have been out marching about abortion and marching about gun control and assault weapons. But why weren't we doing something before then?
Yeah. I'm not sure. And I'd also really like to mention that, like, I'd love to do something too.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been told several times that I'm not in a position of power to do much other than raise awareness, which I'm trying to do.
That's
but
good.
But I just feel like all of that effort is just so minimal. And I also just want to mention that, like, around me, the people that I surround myself and all of the people that I surround myself, like all the men in my life, like my dad, my brother, my friends, all of them, they don't necessarily speak about these issues. And it's almost as if they're hesitant to. And I don't know what their exact opinions are. Like, I'll talk about it at home and my brother will tell me to, like, calm down or something. And I just, like, don't understand if they understand the weight of these issues.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I feel like there is a hesitancy, as you said. Like, it might be because they're scared of saying something that might upset people with uteruses, or saying something that's like something that might be offensive.
They should be educating themselves.
That's what I'm
should
saying.
They not?
Like,
exactly.
Even if it doesn't directly affect you, it affects your sister, your family, your
future wife.
Yeah, exactly.
Future partner, yeah. Like, and also, like, it's the state of our country. It's a matter of freedom, right? So this is something that everyone should be concerned with. And it's disappointing to see that not everyone's taking it seriously.
Yeah, it's like the world around you is, like, in flames and you're just kind of sitting there living happily because it doesn't affect you. But obviously there are some people without uteruses that I have seen speak up about this. But I just think that more of them should be less hesitant to speak up, because just because you don't have a uterus doesn't mean you can't
talk about it.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah.
Okay. Any other comments? Well, first of all, I'd like to extend to you all my sincere appreciation for your continued involvement. And again, Nishi, thanks for calling, because there are issues out there, and don't ever hesitate. Those who are new, we appreciate you and are glad to have you and look forward to you returning. But it is time out. That means that's it for this edition of 411 Teen. And again, many thanks to the panelists. We appreciate you sharing your thoughts and your ideas and your perspectives. To my listening audience, much appreciation for your ear and your time. Tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Teen. 411 Teen was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. If you would like to participate in 411 Teen or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 850-645-7200. You can listen to past episodes at WFSU.org.